Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for planting in us the seed of your word. By your Holy Spirit, help us to receive it with joy, live according to it, and grow in faith and hope and love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, all. Can I have a seat there? Is that all right? We can clear a little room. Gather around, gather around. Well, I have some questions for you this morning. How do we see? I'll give you a clue.
With your eyes.
That's right, with our eyes. Okay, here's another one. How do we hear? Yeah, that's right. What about other animals? Do they have ears and eyes? Most of them do. That's true. But a lot of them do, right? Let's think of some animals. What about like a dog? Well, snake. Snake is a good one. So it has eyes, right? It sees.
And it has ears.
That's right. And it has ears and it hears. It hears different things. Does a dog have ears too? Yeah. What about a cat? Does it have ears?
Yeah.
They can move their ears, right? And dogs can hear things that we can't even hear. They're really high-pitched, right? Really, really high pitches that we can't hear, and our brain just kind of tunes it out. But they can hear it. What about cats? How do they see at night? Do you know? That's right, at their eyes. They have little special reflectors at night that help the light stay in their eyes so they know. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's absolutely right. So you can reflect that. Anybody have a bird? Bird as a pet? No? Well, you know, birds can see in all different colors. They can see all sorts of colors that we can't see.
Like ultraviolet.
Yeah, ultraviolet light. God, you're a smart kid. How about this one? This is a tough question. Can we see God? Sometimes we can. Can we hear his voice?
No.
Yeah, he is here. Yeah. Sometimes we can hear his voice. And sometimes it's really hard. Sometimes it's hard. That's right. Sometimes it's hard to see God, even like in the smile of someone else, or to see God when he's holding us when we're sad. And I wonder if there's a way that we can see God more vibrantly. Anybody have an idea about how we do that? I'll give you a clue. It's something we read in church. That's right, the Bible. Yeah, that's right, it's the Bible. When we read the Bible, we can see how Jesus sees, because Jesus can tell us all about God. We can, and Jesus is God, so we can see God as we see Jesus. We can hear his voice. We can do those things. And so when we take that, we can go into the world. We don't have to have special eyes or special ears or even a special nose to smell out what God is doing in the world. We can see that through what God is saying in the Bible. But you'll hear more about that today at Sunday school. Well, that's true, but they might be able to see God by hearing or by feeling God's word with Braille, right? So anyway. Well, it might be a little harder for us to learn how to do that, but we might. We will try. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that you show us God through yourself and through your word. Grant us the ability to hear and see your workings in all that we do. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Reading from Isaiah. For as the rain and the snow came down from heaven, and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy, and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 65 responsively. You visit the earth and water it abundantly. You make it very plenteous. The river of God is full of water. You prepare the grain, for so you provide for the earth.
You drench the furrows and smooth out the ridges. With heavy rain you soften the ground and bless its increase.
You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths overflow with plenty. May the meadows cover themselves with flocks, and the valleys cloak themselves with grain. Let them shout for joy and sing.
Glory to God.
A reading from Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot not please God. But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give you life to your mortal bodies also, through his Spirit that dwells in you. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while, and when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
You reap what you sow. Have you heard that before? The proverb is not far off from Paul's own words to the Galatian church. Whatsoever a man soweth, he will also reap. Paul speaks in that letter in a similar way that we heard him speak in his letter to the Roman church today. A person that is mindful of what the Spirit is doing in her will produce fruits of the Spirit. While if she is mindful only of the world that is passing away, then she will not be open to what is past death in the world to come. The effect is derived from its cause. You reap what you sow. And why should we think otherwise? Jesus tells us in Matthew's gospel that every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. We should expect nothing less than what we assume. It's amazing that we have such power to predict and expect every reaction and plan our actions accordingly. Everything is as it seems. Thanks be to God. You didn't think I was going to end on that note, did you? It's kind of a strange thing to walk away on that note. Parables, also, they never present us with what we expect. They teach using a typical scenario with a very untypical element. They are meant to teach a specific audience who will understand just what might be strange in its telling. And there are some strange things going on in this parable. With a parable such as this one, we come with questions. We want the identity. We want to know the identity of the sower. We want to know what the seeds or the birds or any of the elements in Jesus' telling are really what they're really describing. We ask questions so we can understand what he is saying. I think the real question we want to be answered is, what does it all mean? What we want an end, to end on the note that truly moves us to more understanding. It could be comforting to know that experts do not agree about the meaning of Jesus' parables. Even with the facts laid before them, they are still prone to seeing the meaning through their personal experience with their subject. It could be comforting to know that it is human to interpret. We don't really get a chance to interpret this one, though. Before we can sit with the parable, Jesus tells his disciples what it means. But his words may have more to say than they appear, especially when you consider the part of the passage we didn't hear today. After he tells the crowd the parable, the disciples ask him a question. Why do you speak to them, that is the crowds, in parables? It may not seem odd to us that the disciples are asking Jesus why he does this. Parables aren't common to our context, but they were to Jesus' context. And as this story unfolds in Matthew, we get to see Jesus explain away his own parable to his disciples, who see and hear and so understand by seeing and hearing what the crowds cannot. Because he tells his disciples, but unlike the crowd, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but they did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but they did not hear it. So then, after this interlude, we are prepared to hear what Jesus has to say about his parable to his disciples. We are ready for him to reveal what we cannot understand without the eyes and ears that the disciples had. We are not numbered among those people gathered to hear Jesus speak when he said all this. We are not in the ancient days. The fact is that the Bible stories are so far removed from our time and place makes them sometimes inaccessible. Because of that, the words of Jesus can be hard for us to relate to, and harder to take in and understand. Even more so, the world is a thorny place. And sometimes the hurriedness of life makes us too hard of hearing or too visually impaired to perceive what God is doing.
How often we rush to take responsibility for the thorns and the rocks and the scavenger birds. We want God, a God who fulfills what we expect that we are to blame for the growing or the loss of faith. We focus in this story on where the seeds are sown, good or bad soil, that's it. But we forget that the seeds were not sown by us. The activity of God to proclaim the gospel in the world is not our activity, at least not in origin. Being in the world means often rushing to conclusions and depending on faulty predictability to understand the God, which loves us beyond our understanding and gives us his spirit to uproot those thorns that are the cause of our deafness. When I studied sociology for a time in college, I learned a concept that has a far-reaching effect on how much we perceive the world around us, how we do that. It's called confirmation bias. Have you heard of this term? Confirmation bias means that whatever expectation we have, whatever we believe about a person or group of people, even if their actions are exactly the opposite of what our assumptions or expectations of them are, our bias will only become more entrenched. Talk about sin's power over our minds, to deafen and to blind us to God working in our world, in our neighbor. Talk about limited perspective. How would anyone be open to understanding the reality that should be obvious, that is, without what blinds or deafens us? What eyes do we bring to this parable? How many ears hear the word of God proclaimed to them? Many of us react to this passage with contempt for any of those seeds that do not produce the largest yields. Others bear in mind how alike their faith lives have been to the seeds that were scattered in the places that weren't good soil. As if God does not care about every bit of life and faith. It is easy to compare one's moments of feeling weak with the hundredfold crop and successfulness that some other people seem to have all the time. We focus so much on the proper soil to produce the largest yield that we forget those other seeds, with just a little care, may have grown just as well. Our reading of the parable and Jesus' explanation makes us question whether we will yield good fruit, or how set on the Spirit our minds are, how strong or active our faith is. We only confirm our bias when we look to the soils in the parable. We then only see and hear what we expect from this parable. We limit our perspective. We reap what we sow. Is that the note we end on in Christ Jesus? No, we don't end there. The end is a harvest beyond what we could hope for or expect. We reap the benefits, sure, of God's yield. Life in the Spirit is a life of peace that only God can give. But the life that God gives is not ours to measure. The seeds that God scatters over the world blossom into life of peace for the world. Beyond the world's thorns would have us see. The world's thorns block us. But Jesus makes us see. Jesus makes us hear. Our Lord gives us spiritual eyes and ears by faith. How much of our perspective is limited by our humanness? Often a lot. But that does not mean that we are bad soil. That does not mean that the lives we live are ever in vain, or that each moment of life is not or will not be caught up with the lush harvest that God expects. What we see and hear in this world has also been heard and is seen through Christ. Now that is a success story. That is the hope we carry with us. That is the hundredfold. That is the 30. That is even no produce at all that we can see. the hope we carry us with us, that God continues to sow in every season the seeds that life of peace that is in Christ Jesus. Amen.